This is Reset. I'm Jen White.
My body, my choice!
My body, my choice!
My body, my choice!
A record-breaking number of women ran in the midterms and won last night.
Organizers are ramping up their message after the confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
These folks are worried about their families, they're worried about health care, they're worried about their economic opportunities.
Women running for office this time around want this to be about them, their records, and their visions for the country.
As you just heard, a record number of women ran for and were elected to political office in the 2018 midterm elections. But the numbers still don't reflect the U.S. population. A new women's advocacy organization hopes to change that. Supermajority works to mobilize millions of women into political action ahead of the 2020 elections by offering training and education opportunities. Joining me are the group's co-founders, Ai-Jen Poo, Executive Director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, former Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards, and Alicia Garza, co-founder of the Black Lives Matter Global Network and principal at Black Futures Lab. Everyone, welcome to Reset.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Cecile, I'll start with you. You stepped down from Planned Parenthood back in May after leading the organization for more than 10 years, but you've actually been talking with Ai-Jen about forming Supermajority long before that. What drew you to this cause?
Well, I think what we all saw and was reflected in what you just played is that there has been this incredible explosion of energy of women all across the country. That started with the Women's March, of course, right after the inauguration, but that fire hasn't gone out. And I think on every issue, whether it's public education, whether it's family separation, whether it's defending access to reproductive health care, women are on fire. And I feel like Ai-Jen and Alicia and I are constantly running into women who are saying, look, I've never been involved before as an advocate, even in politics, but I want to do more. And it seemed like the perfect time to launch Supermajority. And what we found since we launched last spring is that there are women everywhere, all over the country, who really want to play a role in changing the direction on so many issues that we're confronted with.
Alicia, how did you get involved with the project?
You know, I was so honored when Cecile and Ai-Jen were telling me about this great idea that they had to mobilize women in the millions in advance of the 2020 election. And we have all worked together in various capacities through advocating for the rights of women, advocating for the rights of workers. But it's the first time that the three of us have come together to really bring our superpowers into a broader initiative that I think is going to change not only the landscape in this country politically, but hopefully the course of history.
Well, Ai-Jen, you apply a specific lens to this, which I think is really interesting. It's not just about women. You're specific about it being multiracial, about it being intergenerational. Talk about that.
Yeah. So when we thought about the kind of potential power that we're trying to harness here among women, when you think about bringing women together across race, age, class, and experience, it is an incredibly powerful force. And we are not just, I mean, we're the majority of the electorate, right? Women were 54% of the electorate in 2018, majority of college graduates, now the majority of people in law school, majority, majority, majority. And yet we've never fully been able to harness that power to achieve true equality and to make sure that our priorities and our concerns are treated as concerns that are fundamental to the future of this country. We're still treated as a special interest group, right? In many ways, our issues sidelined and treated as kind of minority or narrow self-interest groups or issues. And so the way to really unlock this potential power is really to build that connection and that home for all of us across all of these different experiences. And what we found is that that is exactly what women want. Regardless of the community that you go into, women are always asking about what is happening in other communities and how can we connect to it. They want to know, they want to be a part of it, they want to lift other women up, right? That really characterizes this moment. And there's so much power there.
Well, we should say, though, that women are not a political monolith. There's a range of political beliefs across the spectrum. How does that factor into your work?
Well, what's interesting about this is, I mean, we absolutely agree. Women are not a monolith at all. And we certainly find that when we go community to community and bring women together. And one powerful thing that we also find is that women share a whole set of core values having to do with safety, right? Wanting to have their work valued, make sure that they're able to care for their families, right? There's some core values that are fundamental that all women talk about, are fighting for every single day, struggling, and that we believe are not just about women, but are majoritarian values in this country. It's powerful.
Well, Cecile, one of the goals of the group is to create a Women's New Deal for gender equality. Tell us about that.
As iGen was saying, you know, we just actually got off an organizing tour around the country where we went to 16 states and we launched what we're calling majority rules, which are essentially these values that if you read the paper, you'd think everyone's all divided around the country, but actually women are really united. And our five rules are that, you know, our lives are safe, our bodies are respected, our work is valued, our families are supported, and our government represents us. And it's interesting, no matter what community you go into, that is, to me, sort of the Women's New Deal. And as iGen said, these are values that are supported by a lot of people, not only women. And of course, one thing that's so important, particularly as we look at who's going to be the next president of the United States, what this new Congress is going to look like, we have a super rule, which is that we really believe that the lives and the experiences of women, and particularly women of color, have to be front and center in addressing all of the nation's challenges we have, whether it's climate change or public education or immigration or criminal justice, that the people that are most impacted have to be at the forefront of the solutions. And that is really the animating principle of supermajority. It is that women want information, they want organizing and training. I believe, you know, a year from now, next fall, if we are successful, and I believe we will be, we will have the largest woman-to-woman voter turnout program in the country. And it'll be not just about, you know, one candidate or another. It'll be about a set of values that we want to see whoever's elected president begin to address.
Well, Alicia, I'm curious how your work with Black Lives Matter and Black Futures Lab informed your approach to this organization, particularly when it comes to intersectionality.
Well, I think the first thing that you had mentioned actually earlier is that just like women are not a monolith, Black people are not a monolith. And, you know, from years of working and building power with Black communities, one of the things that I know is that we are much more powerful when we understand the contours of how we live every single day, and when we make sure that those contours are reflected in the policies and the practices that shape our lives. One of the things I'm so excited about in relationship to supermajority is that we really do take the time to better understand what women are experiencing across a number of different positions in their lives. We all know that, for example, Black women are impacted by the wage gap in different ways than white women or Latinx women. But yet, if we have some clarity around where those things are different, we can actually come up with better policy and better practice together about how to not leave anybody behind. And that's really what intersectionality is about, and that's very much what supermajority is about. We are ready to gather all women in this country who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, who believe that we have a stronger future together, and frankly, who want to mobilize together, who don't want to be isolated and mad anymore, that we want to turn that anger into action that can really transform this country.
Well, iGen, you know any organizing effort has its challenges. What are some of the barriers you see when it comes to executing this mission?
It's so interesting you asked that question because Supermajority was founded by a whole bunch of organizers. And I think collectively among us, we must have more than 200 years of organizing experience. And usually organizing is so, so hard in that, like when I think about what's gone into building the domestic workers movement over the last 25, 30 years, it's like meeting by meeting, conversation by conversation, campaign by campaign, like year by year, building relationships. And sometimes it's really hard and takes a long time. And I think what all the organizers who launched Supermajority really felt when we launched was that this is a really unprecedented moment for women's organizing. The kind of energy we feel when we go into almost any community is one of, like, we're running to try to meet the appetite and the energy out there. And it's so funny because people had been asking, you know, is the energy going to die off? Are people going to burn out? And what's going to happen after the first women's march? Is there going to be, you know, and it's not only do people want to march and vote and run for office, but people keep wanting more. The main challenge is actually how we're going to meet the incredible demand for women to actually do more. And that's why we're thinking it's almost like an organizing renaissance for women. It's a chance to just completely blow it all open and build like we've never built before.
You're listening to Reset here on WBEZ, and we're speaking with the three founders of Supermajority, a new women's political action group. Ai-Jen Poo of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, Alicia Garza of the Black Lives Matter Global Network, and Cecile Richards, former president of Planned Parenthood. They're appearing at the Chicago Humanities Fest on November 8th, and you can learn more about the event at chicagohumanities.org. Well, Cecile, as you mentioned, you all went on a cross-country bus tour this summer to mobilize women ahead of 2020. What were some of the top issues that emerged from women on that tour?
It is interesting how consistent the issues that women raise are, regardless of what part of the country they come from. There is a dramatic concern about women in the economy. In fact, our research showed that for half of women in this country, the economy over the last 2 years has put them behind. And I'm really glad that Alicia raised the issue of equal pay, because it's not just equal pay, it's equal pay for whom and how differently these issues affect women of color. I think there's also a desperate concern about healthcare that continues. And we know in 2018, that was a really motivating issue. And this is the work that Ai-Jen does every day. Women are now not only working one or two jobs, they're trying to take care of their parents. Many of them have parents now living with them, doing elder care, and they're trying to take care of their kids. And we know that the lack of any really national child care plan is their huge issues. And I do believe women are beginning to look around and realize that the reason they're experiencing these problems is not of their own individual failing, but these are systemic problems that, frankly, government and politicians have always put to the side. And I think that is going to be a really exciting part of what we'll see in 2020, is women banding together and saying these are the things that are at the front and center of our lives.
So, Ai-Jen, the Equal Rights Amendment gained new energy this past year. It was defeated in the late 1970s, but it's recently gotten a little more momentum. The Equal Rights Amendment is to grant women equal protection under the Constitution. Is that part of the equation for your organization?
Absolutely. I think any suite of policies that actually uplifts women and creates true equality and real equity, real opportunity, real dignity that values women as full human beings and helps us realize our potential. And certainly the ERA is one of those pieces, along with many, many other pieces of legislation. The thing is, we have no shortage of policy. What we need is the political will and the women to get out and vote and be the force that drives that will.
Alicia, as you've been talking to women across the country, are there any surprises that have emerged for you?
You know, I am happily surprised about the response that we have gotten. Right from the moment that we launched, we actually didn't know, as Cecile said, if people were still really excited about changing what's happening in our schools and our workplaces and in our homes, or if people had been a little bit burned out. And when we launched, 200,000 women have signed up. And people, actually, because about a third of the folks who have signed up do not identify with she, her pronouns. We had an amazing response. And so that was a happy surprise for me. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that is really interesting about the supermajority community is that we have found that, contrary to, you know, what you might hear on news reports where people are saying talking about race or talking about gender is turning voters off, that actually we find that there are women across this country who want to learn, how do I better build with women who I have been separated from? And we've had incredible response around that. And that is very heartening and also a little bit surprising to me.
Well, Ai-Jen, your organization has a separate education division specifically to train women on how to participate in politics and activism in their communities. What advice would you give to women who are thinking about running for office, or maybe who've never thought about it before?
Now's our time. Now is our time. I think that we are seeing the appetite and the demand and the readiness on the part of every single community in this country to follow the lead of women. follow Black women, follow Latinas, Latinx women, follow women of all walks of life towards the multiracial, democratic future that we know we deserve in this country and that is possible if we step up. You know, I am so inspired. On our organizing tour, we kicked off the tour with Stacey Abrams in Atlanta, Georgia. And just her incredible leadership is an example of what is possible for us in this country. And I'm hearing from every level up and down the ballot, women, actually many domestic workers and former domestic workers coming to us and saying, I want to run for office. You know, I want to step up in my leadership. And I just think that that is so important. That is how we're going to have a democracy that reflects the truth and the fullness of who we are as a country.
Cecile, I'm curious, what does success for this group look like in 2020?
Well, since we just started, we tried to set a realizable but ambitious goal, and that is that next fall, which will be coincidentally or not, the centennial of women beginning to get the right to vote in America. Of course, it's important to point out that it wasn't all women that got the right to vote 100 years ago. It was white women, and it took years for women of color to have the same rights. But on that anniversary, we believe if we do our job right, we organize, we train, we provide women the support and information that they need, we will have the largest woman-to-woman voter engagement ever in the history of this country. And women, of course, as we know, and as IGEN said, women will be the deciding voters in everything from state legislatures to the White House. And this is a moment, I think, for women to realize their power, realize the power of women standing with other women on the issues that we care about and that do unite us. So to me, having November 2020 be the year that women actually band together and vote together, it'll determine not only what happens in 2020, but I think for the next century in this country.
Alicia, what about for you? What does success look like?
I think success for me looks like in 2020 that women have had the final say. I think a lot of us feel like 2016, we were robbed of our shot. And so in 2020, I really want us to feel like there has been a rematch and that women prevailed.
IGEN, I'll give you the last word here.
Well, I think a lot about this question of equality and what it is that we're fighting for every single day. And to me, we're in this moment where it's not even just about getting a little bit more of our share of the existing pie. We really do want to rewrite the rules fundamentally. And that's why these majority rules are so important to us. We actually want equality on our terms, in our values, in a way that's truly reflective of who we are and what we deserve in this country.
That's IGEN Poo of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, Alicia Garza of Black Lives Matter, and Cecile Richards, former president of Planned Parenthood. They're appearing at the Chicago Humanities Fest on November 8th, and you can learn more about the event at chicagohumanities.org. IGEN, Alicia, Cecile, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having us.